You are now listening to a message from Ekia Christian Center. Get set to be edified. God has blessed you.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 8. Everyone shall glory. It says, the Lord shall bless, shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. Someone say amen. And in all that thou settest thy hand to do. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. All right. Now, God is not only the source of spiritual blessings. God is also the source of material blessings. Amen. God blesses materially. I've heard quite a number of people say things like, God does not bless materially, okay, because if God is one that blesses materially, it will mean that God is responsible for the poverty that exists, all right, in people's lives. But you see, that is not true. God blesses materially. He's the source of material blessings. And we're going to be looking at the place of, you know, hard work. We'll look at the place of favor. We're going to be looking at the place of the mercy of God and the mercy and, how will I put it now, men and women doing what God has commanded us to do in the redistribution and the availability of material resources. You see, God is not the one that authors scarcity on the earth. Because if you look into the world, you see that he allows rain to fall on the good and the bad. God allows oil and material resources, you know, to be found even in the land of wicked people. So God is good. That's the nature of God. That's the character of God. His disposition is to just be good. Where you find scarcity on the earth, it is usually due to the disposition of men. All right? Lack of love amongst men, greediness, covetousness, all right, with men, where men want to hold on to more than they actually need and not reach out and, you know, and distribute that excess that they have, that surplus that they have to those that have nothing at all. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Yeah. So God is the source of material blessings. In Psalms 24, verse 1 to 2, he says, glory, he says what? The earth is the Lord's. Come on, turn in there. The earth is the Lord's. And the what? The fullness thereof. The world and they that what? Dwell therein. He says, for he hath founded it upon the seas, and he hath established it upon the flood. So every single thing you can see was created by God. So if he was created by God, he owns it. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Yeah, he owns it. Glory to God. In Genesis chapter 1, 11 to 12, the Bible even tells us that everything that God created, God saw it, that it was good. In verse 11, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Verse 12, everybody we want to go, it says what? And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was what? So the material world is created by God, and God calls it good. Glory to God. God called it good. You know, there was sometimes, you know, around the time of the early church, there was a cult that arose. It was called a Gnostic cult. In fact, if you read in the book of Revelations, you will hear things like the cult of the Nicolaitans, all right, the Nicolaitans. In Revelation. So that cult was a Gnostic cult, and they practiced a philosophy, all right, which was basically more or less what we have termed Neoplatonism, all right. So their belief was that anything that had expression in the material world was evil. Anything that had expression in the material world was evil. So what now was described as a form of holiness was when you did or had nothing, you understand, in the material world. So people practice asceticism. So you have some folks in a bid to get close to God, you know, they would now leave the company of people, go into the mountains, and, you know, live without material things, because material things were considered evil. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that God created everything and called what he created what? Good. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Yeah, good. Now, Jesus, who is God incarnate, when he came on the earth, did he enjoy the good things of the earth? Yes, he ate, glory to God. He drank, glory to God. He mingled with people. He developed relationships, healthy relationships, I might add. Jesus was not living on the mountains, okay? All right, with the animals and the goats and the wildlife and the hyenas. No, he lived with people, all right, and he lived with his creation. Praise God. All right, now, but we know that God created the world and the material things. The Bible says he called it good, but we have corruption in this world because man sinned. Amen. Death was introduced in this world because man sinned. In Romans chapter 8, 20 to 21, it says, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the word of the children of God." So God, hallelujah, is the source of the material world. Amen. The material world was created and was good. But you see, when death entered the material world, or the corruption entered the material world, where we find that all that has been created will pass away, that came to be because of the sin of Adam. The Bible lets us understand that by one man's sin, death reigned. So death reigned in the material world, but God did not create the material world to die. Did somebody get what I just explained? Yeah. God did not create the material world to die. But the death and the finality, all right, and corruption that we see is as a result of the sin of mankind. Now listen. Why am I stating this? Because some doctrine have begun flying around to state that God does not bless materially. And that is not correct. God does bless materially. You can come to God and ask him for material blessings and he'll respond. But you see, the issue is when you now make material blessings the crux of your spirituality, where all your prayer points are about material blessings, where all your service to God is around material blessings, where the inspiration and the motivation of everything you do is about material blessings, all right? Making mammon your God is the antithesis of spirituality, of true spirituality, praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, praise God, it says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God." Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. There is something about material increase that makes some people forget the Lord their God. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah, it makes some people forget the Lord their God. When increase comes, when prosperity comes, some people forget, all right, the Lord their God. Some people forget to serve the Lord. Some people forget to acknowledge what the Lord had done for them. I've seen that, you know, time and time again. When some folks just get, you know, begin to get blessed, all right, or maybe they move abroad, they begin to say funny things, all right, things that they are not supposed to say, or things they were not saying when they didn't have as much. Because it is very possible to forget. So the Bible says you should remember. Look at him and say, remember. He said, "Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee what? Power to do what? Get well. That he may establish his covenant that he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day." What is the contents of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18? All right, the nation of Israel were moving, all right, through the wilderness into the promised land. God had promised that the land of Canaan was theirs for possession. And God was saying that it is God, it is him that will give them the authority, the power, the ability to get wealth, to actualize his plans and purposes that he had already promised them. What that tells us is this, is that there is a role material resources play in the actualization of the plans and the purposes of God. Look at them and say, there is a role material resources play in the actualization of the plans and purposes of God. It's very important to know that. Very, very important to know that. The children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years. In those 40 years, God made manna available. That is material resources. In those 40 years, God made quails available. That is material resources. Because if they did not have food to eat in the wilderness, they would have died. So God made material provisions for his plans to come to, you know, fruition in the life of the nation of Israel that he had made promises to. Hallelujah. All right? Now, listen. No matter the thing you are involved in, whether you are involved in, you know, career, you're involved in a business, it's very important to notice this, that men plant seeds. Men water the ground. But it is God that gives increase. Did you hear what I said? Men plant seeds. Men water the ground, all right? They can water it, you know, irrigation and all. But the person that gives increase is God. Someone said the person that gives increase is God. Yeah. So there is a role man plays, but man's role is he plants seeds. Man's role is that he waters the seed or waters the ground. But the person who gives increase is God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 from verse 6 to 7. Verse 6 says, I have planted, Apollos watered. I have planted, Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. God gave the increase. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Paul is speaking about the soul winning activity in the Corinthian church. He said, look, I came, I planted the Corinthian church. But I planted the Corinthian church. I planted the gospel message. I began the work. Apollos came and poured water on what I planted. But it was God that caused the work to grow. Are you seeing this? So he now comes to say, neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Because you could plant and another could water and the thing will not grow. Are you hear what I'm saying? You could do the presentation, bring all the pie charts and the bar charts and do all this thing, and the people, even the people you went to, you know, put all those things and they, you know, for investment and all, they put their money inside. But at the end of the day, that thing they put their money inside may not, you know, may not work. It may not be profitable. There may not be increase. Because the person who gives increase is God. Look at them and say, the person who gives increase is God. Yeah. So men must always acknowledge that no matter what labor they might have invested in, it is God who gives material increase. No one must ever walk with arrogance and pride when it comes to money. Don't think, I'm a bad guy. I have all the charts. I'm a crypto lord. I'm a forest god. Hallelujah. Amen. It will shock you. Don't think, I'm the best in my field. I'm this. Let me tell you something. Men sow seeds. Men plant. Men waters. The person that gives the increase is God. The person that gives the increase with God. So no matter how good you are, no matter how well-skilled you are, no matter how talented you are, always acknowledge the God of increase. Always acknowledge that it is God that gives the increase. Look at your neighbor and say, God gives the increase. We have a story in the Bible of a guy the Bible calls the parable of the foolish, the rich fool. In Luke chapter 12. All right, Luke chapter 12, 16 to 21. The rich fool, listen. He says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my food. That means I don't have my account balance is fat and shapeless. All right? My account balance is not going to the gym. You understand? He says, I have no room where to keep my fruits. Look at 18. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. 19 says, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he, 21, everybody said, so is he that layeth up what? Treasure for himself, and is not what? Yes. Not rich towards God. Not rich towards God. He's laying up treasure for himself, and he forgets that there is a God who gave the increase. Jesus is the one that gave this parable. In case you say this is not the gospel of grace as something in Christ Jesus, it's Jesus that gave it. So you must acknowledge God in all that you do when it concerns your career and your business. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The man was blessed. He never acknowledged him. Let me tell you something I want you to never forget. Listen, never in your life be arrogant or proud towards the Lord. Praise God. Somebody said, say, it is God that gives the increase. Louder, say, it is God that gives the increase. So we must all have this mindset. Number one, God is the owner. Man is the caretaker. Did you hear what I said? If you want to see increase, oh, for this thing, God is the owner. Man is the caretaker. Never get too attached to material possession. God owns it. You are just taking care of it. God is the giver. Man is the custodian. Man is the custodian. Everyone here who is going to undo, you know, material increase to a significant level, you must prepare your mind, all right, and shift your thinking to seeing yourself as a channel, conduit, a caretaker, and a custodian of God's material supply. The believer in Christ must always be a steward, where financial resources are concerned. A steward. Let me tell you something, but look up. I have seen quite a few things in my short 25 years of ministry, you know, as a pastor, a few things I've seen. I've seen folks that, you know, lacked for a while and began to say, Father, if you will just do this, and the door opened, increase will come. And that thing they said they would do, they didn't do it. They didn't acknowledge the Lord. They were not stewards. They helped nobody. Hallelujah. They didn't give to the kingdom. They didn't support God's work. Nothing. They didn't. They were not faithful. Hallelujah. And God, in his mercy, you see that door, he opens, he will close it. In his what? I didn't say in his wickedness. In his what? Mercy. It's in his mercy he closes the door. The reason why he closes it in his mercy is to get your attention to understand that channel that he opened is not your source. Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, that channel that was opened is not the source. He is the source. Glory to God. You must see yourself as a channel. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. I said glory to God. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 17 to 19. A believer that drives a Lamborghini and does not have Lamborghini giving is a covetous believer. A believer that drives a Lamborghini but does not have Lamborghini giving culture is a covetous believer. And it's very likely that that Lamborghini is the last Lamborghini we drive. You see, people that chase Lamborghini never have the capacity to buy more after a certain time. Even in the world, the richest men in the world, after some time, money is not the motivation. It's just a scorecard. You understand? I have access to a few really wealthy people. All right? I found out something about them. It gets to a point where the money is not the issue. The money is just scorecard. And most of the richest men in the world don't have their wealth in liquid assets. They don't. The richest man in the world does not have up to $1 billion in cash. Yet he's worth over $500 billion. Why? Because at a point, to really understand wealth, you find out that it's beyond... I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It's beyond most people that are driven by acquisition of hard assets to flaunt are really poor people. They just don't know it yet. They don't know it yet. There's one boxer. He will bring out cash, like real cash, and he put it on the bed. Then he will take a picture or make a video on Instagram and post it. He's poor. It's poor people that do that one. Praise God. You see, that reason you have to flaunt wealth is actually because you are traumatized. Yeah, you are traumatized. You see, you are traumatized. You have been poor for a very long time. And poverty has been your generation for a long time. So, when you now have some increase, you have to flaunt it to show people, I got out. I hear what I'm saying? I got out. I escaped. See me. I escaped. I'm not like my generation. That's why you find, when you look at a black man that has just a few millions, and you look at a white man that has billions, the black man, glory to God, the black man, he will wear heavy chain. Heavy chain, $10 million chain. The thing will be big like this, heavy. They say it's diamond. And he will like this, And the thing will be putting his neck down. He must put, you understand? He will put like four rings, diamond. 1, 2, 3, 4. Then like this, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then he will come to his teeth. He will now put diamond dentures on his teeth. When you do an estimation of how much he's wearing, he can be wearing something like $10 million, $15 million. It must show, bling, bling. That's a poor man. He needs to have as much money on him. Because in his mind, if he loses the one in the bank, at least he has millions of dollars on his teeth. Are you getting what I'm saying? One, check all the rappers. They are poor. They are, all those is this poverty. Tupac Shakur, where he was wearing all those things, he was poor. Suge Knight, poor. Because true riches is not seen in men that chase it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what Jesus is teaching us. Hallelujah. You just bought iPhone 18 Pro Max. You stand before every bathroom with mirror. You must now snap it and show us. You must snap it. Why? You must show people you have escaped. Some people go so as far as getting iPhone 7. Then they will now buy the plastic of 17 Pro Max or 18 Pro Max so that they can plaster it at the back and take pictures to say, why? Because you are so traumatized that you need that external validation from people to say, I have escaped. Even if you are still what? Bound. Are you getting what I'm saying? So a lot of people spend money they don't have to impress people that don't care. Glory to God. You buy bone straight, but your life is not straight. Why are you buying the bone straight? You can't afford it. Don't worry. We are coming to that next week. We talk about this. I'm just trying to prepare you. You understand? Your life is not straight. Your head is not straight. But why are you putting bone straight on your head? Well, I will tell you. You want to project that you are not like other girls from your poor background. You are trying to escape that background. You are ashamed of it. So you are projecting, even though it's a lie, you want to project that you escaped. I get it. I understand. There is a need in every person to look or to achieve success. It's human. And when it is not coming on time, when it looks as though the success is not happening and other people are succeeding more than you, you now want to project that you are succeeding as much as they are to protect yourself. Praise the Lord. Am I talking to somebody here? Did that make any sense? I said, did that make any sense? But listen, 1 Timothy 6:17 to 19. You see, the reason why, because if you have that mindset and money comes to you, you will use money for rubbish. You will use money to prove a point. You use money to prove a point. There was a particular guy, I think one artist, blessed him with 20 million naira. This guy has never seen 1 million naira at once in his entire life. Somebody blessed him with 20 million naira. Do you know this dude did? In 2 days, the guy had bought a GLK, white Mercedes Benz, for 16 million naira. And he now began to drive it and said they should use, capture it on Instagram. And he was thanking the artist. God, God bless you, Baba me. God, God bless you. And I was looking at him, you see, he's poor. He's just a poor guy with a white Benz. Oh my God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You see, what Jesus teaches, you is this, the scriptures. It tells you, if you are not able to give it away, you don't have it. Oh. If you are not able to what? Give it away. You don't have it. Men that have learned to give it away, glory to God, have the spiritual intelligence to get it again. I get what I'm saying. The reason why you can't give it away is because you don't have the spiritual intelligence to get it again. So you hold it because you are afraid that you don't exactly know how you got it the first time. And that if you gave it away, you will never get it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know one thing about folks who, a rich man, and when I'm saying rich man, I'm talking of a mindset. He can lose everything. You can take everything away from him. And 2-3 years, he will get it back. Get it back. Glory to God. There are people that because of their personal credibility and because of their resourcefulness, their skill, and their experience, people will, the moment their name is there, they will put money there. As we go on, I'm going to teach you that aspect. We will look at how your name can be part of your capital. How your name, you must protect it. There are things that you must not, that must not be mentioned with your name. You see, there is a way you live your life that will show us you are going far. Then there's a way you live your life right now that will show us you are not going anywhere. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Even among Agberos, there's a way some Agbero will behave. We will know that this particular Agbero is going far. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know there are some Agberos, they make them chairman of NURTW Petra. But there are some that say, hey, who? Over there. For 15, 20 years, they are just there. That's what they are doing. Mowa. They are not going far. You get what I'm saying? So when I'm using terms like rich and all, understand that many times, or poor, understand that I am not exclusively talking about material things. I'm also talking about what? Okay. Are you getting what I'm saying? Praise God. Look at what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17 to 19. He says, charge them that are what? Rich in this world. That they be not what? High-minded. Not trust in what? Trust in what? Do you know why he calls it uncertain riches? It can be present today and disappear tomorrow. I'm sure people that are into the crypto space, you know what I'm talking about. The cryptorians. The what? The crypto. You see, when crypto first came out and when crypto was this thing, any small thing. Cryptocurrency, this coin, meme coin, blah, 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 any small thing. They won't let us hear what? Trust wallet, this wallet, that wallet. Blah, ah! Everybody was doing masterclass. And you can read the charts. Amen. Praise the Lord. And during that time, you know, I joined one of those classes. One of my friends is a crypto person. I joined, you know, paid the 100, I think it was 100,000 naira fee to join and all that. And we're following this thing. So I learned a lot about cryptocurrency. It was from learning about cryptocurrency. I said, I will never go heavy inside this thing. Lie. Because I know finance. Said, this thing, nah. At some point, one of the Sundays, I think it's next week, there are like two Sundays where the teaching will be more, you will feel as though you are economics and practical class. Because that's what I'm going to do. To be very practical. I will show you. Don't worry. I'll never go long in this thing. Because you will lose your money. See, what cryptocurrency right now is this. You see, cryptocurrency is now a tool for wealth transfer. But let me tell you how the wealth is being transferred. It's being transferred from the moguls. You hear what I said? To the wealthy. So somebody will launch a project. Pump money behind that project. The project is what? They now pay influencers. They will come on TikTok. This coin. Twitter. This coin. You see it. This one. You put your money inside. Put your money inside. Put your money inside. Put your money inside. The person that sponsored the project, he wants to exit at 100%. The moment he sees that the Coinbase has got to, if you just pull the wrong over, everybody is losing their money. Those guys are called waves. So you have to know, there's a place of knowledge. We'll be talking about that later on. Amen? I said amen. Because I've seen a lot of people lose money because they don't have knowledge. Hallelujah. All right, it says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they may not rely nor trust in uncertain riches. The reason why this money is called uncertain riches is because it is subject to inflation. Don't put faith in money. Money is good, but don't put your faith in money. Put your faith in God. Look at them and say, put your faith in God. Look at somebody else and scream at the person, put your faith in God. Yeah, very important. He said, not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So he's telling you that you don't have to put faith in uncertain riches, but in the living God. And God, who is living, is able to give us richly. Someone say richly. All things to what? God is not stingy. He's not a stingy God. He's able to give to all things richly. You don't have to do yahoo yahoo to enjoy blessings richly from God. You don't have to. You don't have to go and be there and be turning your voice like a woman. You now get your girlfriend that you say, you get her involved. She too is being, there's some money here that once you collect it, you cannot have peace. They will be pushing you. I saw a prank. It was a very funny prank. Some guys were sitting in a restaurant and they were eating. Then some guys just came and wore red jackets. Red jacket too. Nothing was written on the red jacket. They just came and wore red jackets and came because there was a table and these guys were eating. So these guys came, wore red jacket and came their own food and sat down and were eating too. The moment these dudes that were eating saw the guys on red jacket, do you know what happened? They froze and began to push their plate forward, trying to decide whether they were there for them or something like that. In 2 minutes, all of them abandoned their food and ran. The Bible says the righteous is as bold as a lion, but the wicked what? Runs where nobody's what? Pursuing them. They will catch you. And if they catch you, and they say, is it your member? I'll say yes. Yes, I won't disown you. I'll just, no. And while in prison, I'll tell you, why didn't you listen to the word of God? What are the things will bring you in the prison? I'll bring you a Bible. They will get you memory card, MP3 player. I will put all our messages, like today, so you'll be listening to it in prison. Glory to God. After you have done like 10 years, they will now talk to the judges. They say, no, he has learned his lesson now. After 10 years. If your prayer comes, let us pray, they release him. I'm not going to be part of that prayer. No, you must be in prison, that prison. You have to learn your lesson. You are a thief. It's a thief. Don't steal. You don't need to steal to prosper. Look at anybody. You don't need to steal to prosper. You say, but our politicians are thieves. They are stealing and they are doing well. Which politician, Nigerian politician, have you heard that ended well? Which one? Which one? With the curses of Nigerians? Which one of you is praying for a politician? It's not curses, you're cursing them. All of them are sick, going for bone marrow transplant, going for, you know, they are not enjoying the money. Some of them have to take different medication. Your own father is fine and well. That's the difference. One has peace, another person is in pieces. You see, because, listen, you cannot steal and go scot-free in this life. No. Nigerians are waking. Nigerians wake up in the morning. God will punish our president. There was a hallelujah challenge. They said, let us pray for those in power. People said, to God, imagine when somebody gets prayer point on your head, that people said laughing. And it was a very loud laughter inside a global program. And you think that person is going to do well in life? No, now, what are you talking about? Human beings have agency. Human beings, if people swear, look, if people swear for you legally, according to the laws of the spirit of heaven, it will catch you. The Bible says, a curse, curseless shall not what? Come. Glory to God. You stole from someone and the person cursed you. You now said, don't worry. Don't steal from anybody. In fact, don't wrong anybody financially. Glory to God. Yeah, don't wrong anybody financially. Don't collect money to trade for people and say you give them 300% returns in 2 weeks. Hallelujah. If they curse you, it will catch you. He giveth, listen, he says, not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to what? Enjoy. Let me tell you, everybody look up, see. God is good. Right? The issue is people a lot of times are covetous. Some weeks ago, I went on a work trip to Southwestern State. One of the states we went to was Ekiti. And the air in that place was so clean. It was mountainous, so nice. The scenery was beautiful. Hallelujah. There were people that were living in houses. They didn't lock the door. The door was open. There's no thief. They grew what they ate. They grew yam, grew corn. You understand what I'm talking about? There were wildlife, and some of them went to hunt to get meat. Simple life. Their prayer point in that place is different from your own prayer point. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when you say, God, why have you failed me? Make sure it is not a prayer inspired by covetousness. Amen? I said amen. So listen, he says, now look at what he says. He says, Paul is talking to the rich people. In 18, he now says that they do good, that they be rich in good works. This is the purpose of having increase. For the purpose of doing good, to be rich in good works. Ready to what? Distribute. Willing to what? Communicate. Remember we said, God is the owner, we are what? Custodians. Say that with me, God is the owner, I am a custodian. God is the owner, I am a channel. Believers that have this mindset usually are blessed more. They are blessed more. I've just seen it. They are blessed more because, you see, God needs them to be blessed more because when somebody is praying for help, he always finds a way for these people to hear so he can help. There are people in this church on our global ministry that needed money for one school and stuff like that. Members, so, because we talk about it, you see, some people are takers. They don't know, you see, some people, They are wired to take. There was a woman that was sharing rice somewhere. In her mind, maybe she had a good touch from God. And she was like, I just want to do good. So she went to cook rice. And she put it in the boot of her car. And she saw a lot of, homeless orphans on the road. But these guys had been toughened by life. So she was now distributing rice. Everything was going normal first. Then the people now were feeling that she was trying to help. First, she was too slow in the distribution and the sharing of the rice. Do you know what they did? He forcibly collected the rice. And it got to a point there was a stampede, and it's like she was being pushed into the car. At the end of the day, she was injured. There's people that their own is, they don't send you, they are takers. Hallelujah. And you must be able to protect yourself against takers. You see, takers will take from you until they take your soul. Kill you, then they will move to another person that they will do like that. They are takers. They have a sense of entitlement. Identify, there's a difference. One of the ways to treat an entitled person is by having mercy on them by not giving them what they feel entitled to. Because when you continue, permitting and allowing entitled people to get away with that mindset. So a popular woman say something that when she went to church, that all these churches have money. And so she doesn't give a tithe to church. She will go to the hospitals, go and check. That lady is lying. I'm a doctor. We know the people that usually actually go and pay. You understand? You see those people that used to go and pay people's hospital bill? They don't talk. They silently. They will just call someone. Please, mention those people that cannot listen. How much is everything? And they will wire the money. They don't make noise. No noise. You see, people that used to talk about it, they don't do it. The ones, when they do, they will call all the camera in the world. Those ones that sound like that, they don't really give. Hallelujah. They don't really give. And the truth about it is a lot of people talk about churches have money. Pastors are very rich. Praise the Lord. There are about 2 million pastors in Nigeria. 2 million. You've heard people say things like, pastors have private jet. Let me give you the statistics. Of the 2 million pastors in Nigeria, just about 10 have private jets. The 10 that have private jets don't own the private jets in their own name. Did you know that? Winners Chapel's jet is not in Bishop Oedipo's name. It's owned by the ministry. They have a private jet to move around. He's not the one moving around. It's all the missionaries have to move because they have a global ministry. Then they have another one that is a, carriage to move stuff, logistics of the ministry around Africa, Europe, and all that. Baba Adeboye does not have private jets. I don't even think Redeem does. Pastor Chris, they has private jets. Right? And the private jet was bought for him by the ministry. It's a love war jet. It's not in his name. Ayo Arisha Jaffa had a private jet, all right, that was gifted to him. Then later he sold it. He said the cost of maintaining it was too much. It didn't make any sense. Praise the Lord. Most of pastors are poor. Especially full-time pastors. Some of you grew up in a pastor's house and you swore you won't be pastor. Because you saw, you understand, that this thing is a suffered business. Hallelujah. So don't let anybody gaslight you.
You say they are collecting money from community tax and sending their children abroad. How many pastors are able to send their children abroad for education?
Hallelujah. How many? Just a handful. The truth is, most pastors actually are pastoring churches where the members are not taking care of them, especially in the Pentecostal charismatic space. That's the truth. Just be honest. You check your own giving. Glory to God. You just be honest. Check it. You're a member of this church. Check your giving. And ask yourself that this way I'm giving, is it from the, you understand? Because even when they tell you, you say, from this 5 naira where they give, no, it can't be. You understand? I'll tell you the truth. In most churches, 20% of the members are the ones carrying 100% of the body. And that is in the best churches. The Catholic Church is one of the best run churches in the world. Yes, they have their local churches, their local parishes, and people give, but they have an administrative system where their priests are taken care of. There are people that give to ensure that the church runs properly. Hallelujah. I've heard people say things like this. One of the things is, I love the Catholic system, but one thing you have to understand is this. And as we go on, we look at it. I've heard people say, to try to praise the Catholic system and say, in the Catholic Church, the Pope does not have a private jet, they don't amass money, but in this Pentecostal system, they are amassing money and stuff. It's not true. It's just that, you see, in the Catholic system, they have sense. They have enough sense to ensure that their Pope does not flaunt wealth. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes, because they understand they have poor members. So because they have some poor members, it doesn't flaunt wealth. But the Catholic Church has a bank. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One of the richest banks in the world, the Vatican. The Catholic Church has one of the highest control deposit of gold in the Vatican Bank's vault. They're rich. They just have sense. So one of the major problems we are having in the charismatic Pentecostal cycles is that a lot of our pastors don't have sense. Now, let me tell you the sense they don't have. You see that thing I spoke to you about escaping poverty and trying to show that you have escaped? That is the problem of many Pentecostal pastors. Poverty has shown us shege. All right? So we want to show you that we have left you behind. Are you guys following what I'm saying? So we need to show you that we have left you behind, because we know that if we don't show you that we have left you behind, you won't follow. Are you following what I'm saying? So we have to show you. So when we enter private jet for the first time, any private jet trip we take, it must be captured content. If we enter a regular plane, it's not. We don't capture that one. So we now make it look at, to you, all right? When I say we, you know, I'm not part of, but let's just put it together. We now make it look like to you that every time we fly, it's private jet. It's not true. So we now sit down in private jet and do like this. And we do as though we are not aware somebody is recording. But the issue is, it's poverty. Brethren, you know, it's poverty. The man whose his level is private jet does not need to film it. You hear what I'm saying? He doesn't need to film it. My friend, my pastor was telling me something. He said, said something I put to him that made him feel like his life. God used to deliver us from mammon. So he went to preach somewhere. Some rich guy said he wanted to see him. So he went to see the guy. So the guy was, you know, trying to talk, and they were talking, and my friend was checking his time. That, oh God, I get evening flight too. This one way they talk like this in a calm tone. Hurry this thing up. The guy was, so he was like, I'm sorry, sir. This my flight. I need to, you know, I booked a flight. The guy said, don't worry, my jet will drop you. He said, sorry, your what? He said, don't worry, my jet will drop you. And he said, don't I have to? He said, don't worry, they will wait for you. They've been told, blah, blah, blah. And then, He said, he was calm. You understand? You know, there are some guys, there are some people that have money that the way they are talking, you just feel like you are a babe. You'll be crossing leg, you'll be you feel, where are you, babe? I'm using that because I'm using that as someone to be taken care of. You understand what I'm saying? And the guy was talking about it. It was not a big deal. Praise God. He didn't know the man before. He has never seen a picture of the man in jet, but he has jet. That's in his poverty. That this we must display it. We see, amen. It's we are poor. We preach a lot of prosperity gospel, but we are actually poor. Hallelujah. And you see, God wants to rid us of that mindset so they can actually commit great things into our hands. Hallelujah. Such that those things, we are debt to them. We see them as tools and not something that is a proof to validate anything. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not a proof to validate anything. You are not worth more because you have more. Your worth is in the blood of Christ. Praise God. Because when you leave this earth, you are not going to carry $1 with you. There's a guy, they buried him. They now, they, you know, I don't know if you remember that, what's the name of that, Homer? You know Homer? I don't remember when Omar was raining. Come on, wait to. Let me ask that question again. I need to check. I said, I don't remember when Omar was raining. Not a lot of people. Some people were born like 2005 or 20. So there's a guy like this. He died. They were calling him something ego. He's a rich man. Something ego. He died like this. They now buried Omar with him inside the grave. Can I ask a question? In the spiritual, is he going to be driving Omar there? Is it not foolishness? The Omar is not, they just wasted Omar. And if you brought that Omar out and you gave somebody as a gift, somebody look at him and walk away. That tells you like the futility in these things. Glory be to God. Look at a neighbor and say, my life does not consist in the abundance of the things that I possess. So where God wants to take you is where you are dead to these things. So you can easily walk with him in distributing. Glory be to God. What are the purposes of God on the earth that the believer must support? Number one, you must support your local church. The church of the living God is the responsibility of believers in Jesus. The church is a family, a school, and an organization which needs to be properly run. In Acts 4, 32 to 35, all right, you see, all right, the early church Christians do that. The Bible says in 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Can you see that? For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. Now I must explain that at this time they did this because there was a need. There was a need. Okay? You shouldn't be in a local church and be comfortable where needs, you know, where that church does not have what it needs to operate. No. Don't be amongst those who come and are blessed by a service, even receive miracles and receive divine intervention, and you don't support materially. That's wrong. Glory to God. Muslims will not finance churches. It's Christians that will do that. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's Christians that will do that. Those who are blessed by that local church need to give to that local church. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 7 to 11. All right? In Scripture, they sold what they had and they brought it. Okay? 1 Corinthians 9, 7 to 11 says, who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planted a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or set it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his word, hope. If we have sown unto you what? Spiritual things. Is it a great thing if we shall reap your word? So the church is where you get spiritual nourishment, where you get encouragement. It's where you are taught the word of God. All right? Where you are blessed with spiritual things. All right? Your response is to support with your material things. Hallelujah. Now, in this church, because I am bivocational, all right, I'm not waiting for you to give for me to eat. No, I have my job. I work. Glory to God. All right? And I am one of the top givers in this ministry. Praise the Lord. All right? I am an exception. Don't use me to preach outside and say, pastor should work, oh, my pastor worked. I am an what? Exception. And it's a decision I made. Glory to God. Decision I made because believers have plucked my eyes before. And I have left a lot. Let me tell you something. A lot of people talk about church hurts, church hurts, church hurts. We have not heard of pastor hurts. When you hear pastor hurts, you will cry. You will cry, pastor, you mean they did that to you? My God, oh, this is terrible. Well, you know, because pastors have been taught. Now, I'm not saying there's no church hurt. Some pastors are very wicked. Some pastors are very wicked. And one of the things we need to even discuss in the body of Christ is how we excuse wickedness from the pastors. I believe that in the Pentecostal charismatic setting, we need to be able to hold our leaders responsible for their actions. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't believe that someone should go and impregnate somebody. Then we'll now be doing, no, touch not my anointed. Then we demonize the person they impregnate. I mean, you say the person was one that was sent by the agent of darkness, a marine kingdom. No. Oga, if you chop there, if you debar, glory to God, leave marine kingdom out of it. You have authority over marine kingdom. Why come your authority in Jesus' name did not work? We will walk towards restoring that pastor, but we will not excuse wrong behavior. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, you don't excuse. Because we are losing, you know, a lot of people are getting offended because of the wrongs of leaders. But at the same time, we cannot excuse also the wrongs of believers to their leaders. Praise the Lord. All of the problems you are hearing when you online, church is trending. It's a former member that is causing the problem. And usually that member is putting out one side of the story. You know, on the internet, let me tell you, if you want to get people to believe you, just start and start crying. Brethren, I just want to tell you something. By the time you move people's emotions, say, what is going on? Nobody wants to hear the other side of the... I've learned one thing. When it comes to internet gossip, number one, never respond or comment until after 72 to 2 weeks. 72 hours to 2 weeks. Just wait. Because they will pluck your eye. You will go and talk. What is going on? Calm down. That story, first to call police is not best that is winning the case. So relax. Calm down. Hallelujah. Yeah. Just calm down. People have come to tell me things about men of God. And I was like, I'll hear them first. And say, okay, no problem. So can I call? Can we call that person? No need. Don't you believe me? But can't we? I believe you. I just want to call. No need that. Let's get him on the phone so that you can, you know, make this allegation. No, it's not true. It's not necessary. I just came to confide in you. Glory to God. There's church hurt, yes. But there's also pastor hurt. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I tell you, so a pastor went somewhere. A member was driving a car on higher purchase. And he hits a police van or something, or hit somebody, I don't know. They took him to police station. And the pastor went there and said, please, release him. He's my member. We are sorry. Something, something. Then the police said, you know, if we release him, you know, you have to stand as surety. That means you have to sign that if we are looking for him, you will produce him. If you can't produce him, we will lock you up. Some pastors. Should I tell you what some people have done to pastors? There are some people, they've gone to work somewhere. When they were going to work in the place, they brought guarantee form for the pastor to sign. Because that place, they said you must have either a level 13 civil servant or a clergy from a notable church that they have registered in CAC. All those things, they'll say yes, for you to get a job here. That means for you to be in perfect employment. They went and they signed. And in that personal guarantee form, they've said, if this person steals, commit any fraud or anything, by virtue of this personal guarantee that you have provided, if you cannot find this person, we will come and hold you. There were pastors that were signing for members. They were just signing. They thought it was just a piece of paper. Until that risk crystallized. In this church, if you have not done membership class and we don't know you, we don't sign personal guarantee. Oh. Femi Olaleye is not going to sign for you. Oh. Ah, because I know the implication. I'm a banker. I understand finance. I understand legal finance. It's a risk. And there are some you sign. 6 months later, they've left the church. But you see that document. So there are some, I'll tell our lawyers, edit it. You just say, so, you know, we put things there that protects us. There are some we sign as Oikea Board of Trustees. I don't sign alone. I've seen things. Amen. So let us enter. Things. So, now listen. In a good church, when people give, because we're going to talk about, I'm going to round up now. When people give, in a good, well-run church, the money is used for operations, ensure the church operates, all right? Used for events, all right? Used for capital expenditure. We want to get a space, so we have our own space and all, so that we stop spending overheads on rent. All those kind of things, that's what the money is used for. The money also, all right, in a good church, they always put some money for welfare. Like in this church, you'll notice, every month, we always want to have a big church day. It's a portion of what has been given we set aside. At times, the money that we spend for big church day is in millions of naira. It's never cheap. Millions. It's intentionally done. And we do it across our churches. Why? Because we don't want it to be that there is somebody in church, all right, that could not. So we do it in such a way that is dignified. And we know, if you check, we don't snap. We don't take pictures. When people are getting relief materials in this church, you will never catch a picture of that thing outside. We don't do it. It's not. We are not trying to do it to say, come and see us, we help the poor. No. People in church should be able to get help without us using it to catch crews. You understand? We give scholarship to people in this church. And we don't come and say, hey, oh yeah, you collect scholarship, come here, smile for the camera. No. We do it quietly. Quietly, no noise. No noise. Because I want to put myself in that scenario. If I need help, do I now have to lose my dignity? You know, say, ah, poor man, don't get dignity. That is outside in the world. Inside church, a poor person should have dignity. Hallelujah. The person may be poor now, he won't be poor forever. I grew up in poor circumstances. I told you of how I used to go for naming ceremony to eat party jollof rice. I'm a familiar story. Party jollof rice with fried fish. We're that poor. The first time I ate proper jollof rice was not in my house. In my house, what we were eating was rolepo. You know what rolepo is? How many of you know what rolepo is? Rolepo is, you know, rice. You know concoction rice. You understand? You just put oil, put some atagongo, red pepper and stuff, mix rice with it and let it, you know, boil. That's Amen. All right, let's just go on quickly. So number one, all right, we give the purposes of God is the church, local church. Number two, the poor. Jesus was very mindful of the poor. Don't let anybody lie to you that Jesus didn't care about the poor. God doesn't care about the poor. No, Jesus cares about the poor. In John 13:29, the Bible lets us know that Jesus always regularly asks that money be given from the treasure of his ministry to the poor. For some of them, look at John 13:29, it says, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feet, or that he should give something to the poor. Jesus regularly gave to the poor. Glory to God. All right? In Romans 15:26, the Bible lets us know that the church in Macedonia made certain contribution for the poor saints, which are Jerusalem. In Galatians 2:10, the Bible tells us that the apostles, all right, in Jerusalem, instructed Paul that he must remember the poor. He says, only they would that we should remember the poor. This is Christian teaching. The same which I also was forward to do. So that teaching where he says that when you give to poor people, God does not bless it. There is no harvest. But when you give to pastor, that's where you harvest. It's not biblical. Praise the Lord. It's not biblical. That's not biblical. Number three, you give to widows. And those life has happened to. All right? They are vulnerable. Give to them without expecting things in return. Don't give to a widow and want to sleep with her. That's bad behavior. All right? You give to a widow, maybe your friend lost, your friend died, then you're supporting a widow, then you are visiting aggressively. No, you don't do that. Those things are wrong. Exodus 22, 22, 24 tells us also, he said, you shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. That's orphans. All right? You can go and read the rest at home. Glory to God. So can see the mindset, all right? The Christian mindset towards, all right, you know, the Lord's work. Amen. I said amen. Now, Galatians 6:10. Whenever you want to do good as a Christian, listen to what I'm telling you. Whenever you want to do good and you want to show compassion, your number one place of showing compassion and doing good must be to church. Your family. There are a lot of funny people that are doing compassion things to the world. Even their immediate family don't know them as compassionate. You are sharing rice to the world. Your brother's children have not eaten. Hallelujah. Start the goodness from your house. Are you hear what I'm saying? Yeah. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the what? Very important. Also, it's like me, I should be doing giveaway on Twitter. I've not done giveaway inside church. I'm not compassionate. I'm looking for attention. So how does a believer give systematically? Number one, a portion, a tithe. It is biblical to set aside a portion of your income to honor the Lord and your local church. You have a business, you make profit, set a portion and give that. Praise God. All right? Give that. Connect your business to the purposes of God on the earth. You are not the first to do it. Many of the corporates in the world have what they call CSR budgets. Corporate social responsibility. Many of those organizations that are led by Christians, part of that, their CSR budget, it goes to churches. Set this aside. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. All right? The biblical practice of tithing is primarily about honor, worship, and not the law of Moses. In Genesis 14:20, the Bible says, all right, and blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thy enemies into thy hand. And the Bible says what? And he gave him what? Tithes of all. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, not because there was a law of Moses. He tithed to Melchizedek as an expression of honor. Hallelujah. When you tithe, you are showing and displaying honor for God. You are saying, Lord, you gave me 100%. I want to honor you with a portion of it. That's what the primary reason and, you know, philosophy behind tithing is. Now, why the New Testament instructs us to give as we determined in 2 Corinthians 9, 7, it says, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The Bible also tells us that there is a principle of sowing and reaping that goes with giving. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6, the preceding verse says, but this I say, he which soweth what? sparingly shall reap also what? Sparingly. And in the name of the Lord, in recognition of what he has done particularly in our lives. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 5:4. He says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. There are some folks that make vows, all right, during a time of need, and say, Lord, if you do this, I will do this. And when God does it, they don't do that thing. Ecclesiastes 5:4 calls you a fool. If you make a vow to the Lord, make sure you fulfill the vows. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In 1 Samuel 1:21, it says, and the man in Cana and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vows. So Elkanah made vows. In Acts 18:18, in the New Testament, the Bible lets us know that Paul made a vow. He said, and Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Caesarea, for he had a vow. Third way you can give in local church is giving to meet a pressing church need or need for individuals. There's such a time where we give to meet pressing needs in church, where we have to rise up as a church to urgently settle a corporate need. All right? So maybe, for example, we hear there's an issue somewhere. All right? I say, guys, we need to give. This member has this issue. They need 500,000 naira. Let us give. Or they need this. Or this person has a health challenge. This. Let us see how we can send something. I mean, there are times when we do that in church, but we don't tell you. What we just do is we look at our surplus, all right, from our accounts and say, okay, for example, we had a case where a member of church had an accident and she needed to have a surgery. And this member has been going through a tough time in life. Her dad is not in the picture, all right? The mom is poor. And we are the family that she has. And that's the matter came up, and they mentioned the amount of money was like 700 and something thousand naira. You understand? And they said they raised this amount. And they just said, pay off. This is what I said. Deal it. Make a request. And we paid. We paid. It's just, that's it. We just settled it. You understand? But you see, that was possible because there were people who were giving. Somebody understand what I'm saying? People were giving. Glory to God. All right? So this is where, all right, when there's a pressing need, where we have to rise up as a church to urgently set to a corporate need. This period is when source of consolation are counted. During this period, we give sacrificially, not comfortably, and this is usually due to an urgent kingdom need. In Acts chapter 4, 37, we see an example of this. It says, and Joseph, who by the apostles was son named Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Listen, God can only trust the giver with material increase, for it is only the giver that demonstrates his victory over covetousness. Rise up on your feet. Have you learned something today?
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For more messages, kindly search for our Telegram channel using the link t.me/oikiacc. God has blessed you.